You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Bel Air season one is over, but we are just getting started here on Bel Air, a post-show recap. My name is Chappelle, and this is a story all about how this Labor of Love podcast somehow, you know, between me and my friend, just ended up leading us to interviewing the showrunners of one of the most popular shows on any streaming platform this year. And with me, as usual, the guy I am proud to call the Carlton Banks of this podcast, my boy, my bruv, and everyone's favorite podcast host, Puya. Puya, what's up?
Yo, Chappelle, I'm excited to be here. I love that you're still calling me the Carlton, even though we found out you and Ollie share the same birthday.
But yeah, listen, that's crazy.
Yeah. We move, though. I mean, I'm happy to be called the Carlton, given where we are. Chappelle, I can't believe we're here. This is exciting. This is amazing.
Yeah, this is crazy. You couldn't have written this any differently. Like, I mean, it's out of this world. But you know what? We're here, and we're going to talk to, I mean, some amazing people today. I'm very excited to be able to introduce our guests. You listeners may know some of their previous works, including writing credits on the hit shows Lie to Me, Army Wives, Switched at Birth, The Chi. But introducing the showrunners of Bel Air on Peacock, TJ Brady and Rasheed Newsom. How are y'all, fellas?
Doing great.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, guys.
Oh, no. This is our pleasure and our honor. I mean, seriously, we are jumping out of our skins right now with excitement. So just happy to have y'all. We don't have nearly as much time as we would like, so I just have to jump right in. TJ, now that the show is completely streaming on Peacock, what has it been like to have the entire first season out there for the world to see?
It's been really amazing. I mean, the biggest thing that not surprised me, that was gratifying, is how much love we're getting. And when people say it is, I wanted to hate this show, y'all. Wanted to hate it. But I'll tell you what, tuned in, and I can't lie, you guys did something really good here. And that's just a testament to the entire cast, entire crew, everybody on up. I mean, it's been really gratifying.
Yeah, Rasheed, you both have been doing press work and interviews since the show is finished, such as this one. And what have you like reception have you gotten from some of the other interviewers and some of like the listeners and the viewers of the show? How has that been from your point of view?
It's been interesting because normally people love your show just based on your show, but this show is linked to The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And so that was both, that was to our benefit, but it did pose some challenges. So people were interested in our show because they wanted to see what was going to happen with these characters. But as TJ mentioned, there was a lot of skepticism out there about how this was going to play out. And, you know, in pop culture, very few things meet our expectations, let alone exceed them. So it's great to be part of something that seems to have exceeded the expectations of a lot of viewers.
Yeah, admittedly, I thought, wow, this show is way too beloved for someone to try to redo or reimagine. Pooya actually felt strongly that we should cover it, while I was a little bit more cautious. I was like, I don't know what to think. Thankfully, he convinced me, and man, it was the right decision. So one of my first questions is, why did you want to cover The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air specifically? I know you probably get this question all the time, but what did you want to bring to the reimagining? TJ, you can go first.
I mean, look, we had an amazing guide in Morgan Cooper's viral trailer that sort of set out the vision, you know, let everybody know that you could look at this concept through a different lens. And so when you saw that the fire that created, the way that took hold and the way that literally everybody had seen it, you know, you knew there's something there, you knew there was a hunger. But when we came aboard, what we wanted to do our best to do is just have a slightly bigger palette than Will's POV, bring in cast and bring in all these other people who could be just as dynamic and hold their own with our lead character. And I think, you know, by and large, that was our mission. That's what we set out to do. And, you know, by the grace of God, here we are. You know, so it was just sort of putting more characters up and, you know, showcasing a lot more characters was, I guess, our biggest desire and what we wanted to bring.
Gotcha. Rasheed, what about you?
I really like the idea that we could tell this story about an affluent Black family, and we didn't have to fall into that old trope that as they got rich, they got less Black. And there still would be conflict. There's still something to say about class and money and affluence and Black excellence and the burden of it all. But I liked that this could actually take the conversation places that it maybe couldn't go 30 years ago. I like that we could explore what it is to be Black on all levels. And in no time are we questioning anyone's authenticity.
All right. Sounds good. Rasheed, is there anything that you just wouldn't touch, though? Is there something that you looked at The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and thought, we can't do that because people will tar and feather us?
I don't know that you can't touch anything. I think one of the things that came up in casting was that we weren't looking for people to imitate the originals. So, you know, the late James Avery, like you weren't going to try and find someone to embody physically or even in mannerisms his characterization of Uncle Phil. That would seem sacrilege. Also, you're not going to find anyone who did that better than he did that. So it did sort of in casting make us say, we've got to get somebody who embodies the spirit of these characters, but we in no way want an imitation of what came before.
Right. And I'm sure that's a struggle to have the show out and for people to initially say, well, this isn't my, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like, I'm sure, TJ, you've seen some of that feedback, right?
Of course. I mean, you know, and one of the biggest things we went, you know, in the reimagining was the character of Carlton. That is a complete reimagining. I feel like that grabbed viewers by the throat and made them sit up and take notice. And there were a lot of feelings about our portrayal of this, you know, this Carlton. what we were doing, what we were saying. You know, people had really strong feelings about it. And even if those feelings were initially negative, I have to say, as writers, as creators, as people who love TV, that's a win for us. If people care one way or another, we win. We have made people care about fictional individuals who only live on their TV screen. And if you can do that, whether they love them or hate them, they're engaged and they keep coming back. And so, you know, that was a big dice roll, and we feel it paid off because that Ollie crushed it. And the journey of that character through the whole season, I think, was really something to watch.
Yeah, let's talk about that journey just a bit. Carlton, it was such a beloved character to so many that going into this to see such a heel turn for something, I mean, it was jarring. It was like violent removal from what we knew and we loved about Carlton Banks. But like you said, Ollie just killed it. Every week, y'all, me and Puya got on this podcast and we argued about who was the Carlton of the week. Like, I don't want to be Carlton. I don't want to be Carlton. By the end, we're like, okay, I'm Carlton. You're no longer Carlton. Yeah. No, it's me. It's fine. So, Rashid, how do you think, like, I'm sure you've spoken with Ollie about this. How do you think he felt about some of the things that he heard and that how his portrayal went, as opposed to what people expected from the original Carlton Banks?
Ollie loved every second of this. I was deeply concerned. I said, you know, because I could tell, you know, how this was going to go. And I said, you're going to catch a lot of heat. And I was worried that this young actor would take it personally and take it to heart. And he understood that this just came with the job, that if people were tweeting at him in anger, all that was done because he had made them feel something and he had executed it well. TJ and I have worked on a lot of shows, and we've worked on shows where you'll write a line or you'll put in a plot turn and the actor will come to you and say, I don't know. I don't feel comfortable playing this. I don't know. And this could be going too far. Ollie never did that. He was always eager to dig in. I think he realized that this was a chance to play somebody who would have incredible impact on a show. I think he also understood what we understood in the writer's room, which is this was a very grounded choice, that when you looked at this story from Carlton's perspective, Will just shows up and takes so much that what's dear to him away. So of course he's going to be jealous. Of course he's going to be mad. And we just, we charted this course that we felt like by the end of the season, people will understand where he's coming from and they'll be more sympathetic. But you've got to go through the first half of the season just knowing that everyone's going to hate your character.
Right. Puya, you struggle with that, right?
Definitely. I feel like it was one of those things where I think by the end of the show, or by the end of season one, Carlton's growth was by far and wide the biggest story for me. And I absolutely loved seeing where he started, all the struggles he had in the middle, to then get to where he is at that final scene of the season. I can't wait to see where he goes next. But Ollie did a stand-up job. Like, Chappelle would react so negatively to Carlton that I would send him stills of Ollie's face just randomly middle of the day through text, and he would not love that. He's okay with it now.
Yeah, no, I'm very – Puya is petty. No one gets pettier than Puya, and he did that throughout the entire season to the point where one day I was like, it's fine, Puya. I will accept the Carlton role because, yeah, at the end he came full circle. But I'll tell you,
as showrunners, I mean, we love that everybody likes Carlton, but our challenge next year is he can't be a cuddly teddy bear forever.
No. Mm-hmm.
He's still somebody who has inflammatory opinions and gets under the skin of people. And we've got to respect the growth of the character, but we've still got to bring that to the character.
Right. And TJ, how do you think y'all are going to balance this? Like, you want to make Carlton a realistic character. We've seen the sides of him in season one, but he can't, like you said, he can't be perfect. And so, like, how do you balance making us still like Carlton, but not, you know, go back to that season one vitriol that everyone had for him?
Well, listen, I mean, now the audience knows, you know, why Carlton is the way he is, from his upbringing to the environment he goes to school in to the unique pressures he faces, you know, just being one of very few people of color in a largely white privileged environment. And so, you know, the way we balance it is just trying to keep it real. What would a person who was really in that situation be like? What would they think? How would they express themselves? And then we also, you know, so there's that side of it where some unpopular points of view or opinions may come out. But the thing now is he is bonded with Will. And the audience loves Will. Jabari crushes it. Jabari is so, the guy walks on screen and you just love him. And the fact that Will cares for Carlton and those two have come a long way, we think is going to bring the audience a long way too, you know, just getting Will's buy-in on this guy who, you know, whatever opinion he may express, he's family now, you know, and you don't disown family.
Yeah, and we love to see that because the struggle was real this season, trying to grapple with the Carlton versus Will of it all, because I'm so used to them being a dynamic duo. But we've gone a long way into this podcast without talking about Jabari Banks as Will Smith. The first time we watched the show, I remember Puya and I texting back and forth about how amazing he was. It felt like he spent years just shadowing and studying Will Smith or the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air proper. Now, he's a young guy, so I didn't necessarily think he had the connection to the show that some of us older viewers might have had. What was your experience working with Jabari, and was this just his natural talent? Because it feels like this role, for him to be his breakout role, like this was the role he was born to play.
Well, he like everybody else in the show, he was a fan of the original. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, 1 year for Halloween, he dressed up and got his friends to dress up like the Banks family. He was Will. So, I mean, he probably in a lot of ways was studying for this role. He just didn't know it was coming his way. But a lot of what you are seeing is Jabari's natural talent, his emotional openness, his honesty, his availability. I think, you know, he's a great actor. He's also, and in a show like this, that's an ensemble, this is important and it can be overlooked. He is a good scene partner. So even when the scene isn't his, even when Ali is falling apart, you can feel that Jabari is very present and he's there to support Ali in those scenes. And that goes a very long way. There's a lot that Jabari does right that they're not the talents that people normally notice, but they matter.
Oh, yeah. And TJ, did you feel like you were surprised by this level of like range from somebody as fresh as Jabari? Or is this like when y'all did casting, you know, or when casting was done, I'm sure they were looking for a specific type of person. Was he just like the type of person you had in mind?
He just got better and better and better every single round, from the taped auditions to the callbacks to the chemistry reads. He improved. He shined. Everything we threw at him, He could field it and take it and make every note his own in a way that was super, super charismatic and all his own. And it just really sort of the vibe came right through the screen. It was incredible. So we were very hopeful that he was going to be able to do all the things that we've come on and see him do. We weren't sure because he was a newcomer, but we were, you know, we placed a very big bet on him that paid off because he's just that good.
I mean, he's great. It's just spectacular. It's like, if you told me like just off the street that this was his first big role or first role in general, I was like, no, it's not. There's no way. Cause he just was so excellent in his portrayal. Puya, what did you think?
I mean, we talked about this. There were moments, not only the acting, just the mannerisms he had down from the original. Like he's walking the same way Will was walking. He's got the same like swagger going. That's why I really felt like a character study was done. But he's a natural. He killed it. It was amazing. And for me, the biggest challenge was probably that finale. You know, his meetup with his head-to-head with Lou. And he made me feel all the emotions. Like, I went through a lot watching that. It was incredible to watch.
Yeah. We'll get to the Lou thing a little bit later on, because we do have a really good question for y'all. But, you know, we talk about Carlton and Will as a dynamic duo, but the two of you have been working together very long as well. I mean, I've only met Puya a couple years ago. But I was a big fan of Puya beforehand. Let me be very clear. I was like, man, one day it'd be cool to podcast with him. No. Let's not be humble. I was a fan. But like I said, we are now becoming a duo, but the two of you have been working together for a very long time. What was the dynamic of y'all taking the lead on something like this? Because I know a lot of your other writing credits have been like, you know, for episodic things, but to cover this season and for this to be your own, was it difficult? Like, how did this thing work out between the two of you? Rashid?
It was, I mean, the assignment was difficult. I mean, you're launching a show that's based on another show that was beloved to the audience. So that assignment is tough. We also had pretty strict deadlines. The show's got to premiere after the Super Bowl. They were not going to move that date nor the Super Bowl on our account. So we had that kind of pressure. But we've been working together for so long. And, like, we're writing partners, but we're also, like, brothers. So, I mean, I did feel good. And I was like, I've got TJ. You know, like, we're gonna figure this out. And between the two of us, it felt like, well, we can tackle this.
Yeah, it was absolutely essential, I think, to have a partner in this. There were times, given the stress and the deadlines, that I think if it was just me, I don't know that I would have made it. It was wild times, you know, wild times getting this thing off the ground. And we knew it had the potential to be great, which keeps you going through the hard times. But, you know, when you're just, you know, digging as hard as you can in the dark, you don't know how, you know, what kind of progress you're making. But I had a partner I could turn to and go, how are we doing, man? And he could do the same with me. And it meant a lot. And I think the show would not be anywhere near what it is had it just been one of us.
That's amazing. And you all have had the support of the original creators, Will Smith, Quincy Jones, Benny Medina, who are all producers right on the show. What was it like working with these huge names that were tied to such an iconic franchise?
Well, mostly you're just worried that they're going to throw thunderbolts down and strike what you've made. I mean, because that's the thing. You know, we create these outlines and these scripts and we get all this material going and it's going to everybody, you know, all the way up the chain. And you're not sure if you are going to do something that they object to or don't like. To our great relief, no one ever actually pulled us aside and said, you can't do that with Carlton or you can't do that with Hillary. So, and to that extent, it was very supportive. With a project, we've been on projects where, you know, someone has come down on from on high and told you what you can and can't do. We had a tremendous amount of freedom on this show.
TJ, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, much like Rashid said, you know, all of those names you described, all the history, all the legacy, that was one of the things that we could, you know, it could either be a barrier to success or it could be a boost to success. And we were just lucky that, you know, all those names and the whole machine, you know, the entire machine behind it and behind them got behind us too, really. And that was key to the success of the show.
That's great. And I put a pin in the Lou conversation, but I have to shoot this to my co-host. We had some theories throughout the season. We were like, who is the dad going to be? Puya, could you tell them everybody what we were thinking?
Yeah, so it came up to like close to the penultimate episode and we could tell Lou is going to be the reveal probably in the finale. Who is it going to be? And then I threw a comment out there at the tail end of the pod. I'm like, what if Will is going to play Lou? What if that's going to be the scenario? And we were not ready for that theory. I feel like we got very like pan. Oh my God, no way. That can't be the case. And then when the reveal was Marlon Wayans, that was even more of a shock to me. I did not see that coming at all. I did not expect him. Now, I had not really seen him in any serious roles in the past. So I was very surprised that he was about to tackle this. And ultimately, I was blown away. So what I want to know is was Marlon always on the list of options? How did this come about? I'm very curious.
There was a long list. And I'll tell you one of the things that I think sort of tipped it to Marlon, and we were glad he said yes. I mean, in a situation like this, you present the role to an actor of his stature and hope that they choose you. Mm-hmm. So what we were going for is, what if Will met his dad and his dad wasn't someone he could hate as easily as he thought he could? What if I meet him and he's sort of lovable and he makes you want to smile and he's sort of charismatic, and Marlon brings all that to the table just with his persona? that, you know, I mean, not that this actor was on the list, but like, you know, if Ving Rhames shows up, that might be somebody you're a little more ready to go toe to toe with and you expect a harder person. But Marlon shows up and he can tell you these great stories about taking you back to the Sixers game and sneaking you into the locker room. He can win your heart in a way. And we wanted to be able to have that turn. We didn't want this to be just one note. They're just button heads. We wanted someone who could be cool enough to win Jabari's heart for at least a little while. And that's where I think Marlon sort of broke from the pack.
Yeah. And we've talked about Will and we talked about Carlton and now Lou, but who was your favorite character to write for, TJ? And why was it Jeffrey?
Yes.
Jeffrey, one of the biggest, not surprises, but like, because we knew how awesome Jimmy was when we cast him. We knew what we had in mind for this character, but the incredible, you know, just outcome when you took the hopes and dreams and scripts we had written and combined them with Jimmy Akingbola. I mean, the audience reaction was off the hook, as it should have been. We have so much fun writing for that character because, you know, we don't have to tie things up. The mystery is part of the fun. Letting people's imaginations run wild is part of the fun. You know, there's so many questions people have about them. And, you know, I got news for people. We're not planning on answering them all because that is part of the mystique. We're going to answer some. We're going to tease some. You know, stuff's going to come out that people didn't expect. And we're just going to continue to build that Jeffrey mystique. You know, maybe one, who knows, maybe we'll get a spinoff one day. I don't know.
This is famously a pro Jeffrey podcast. And if that's no right. one else will stand, we definitely will. It seems like you all had so much fun with the characters, despite the dark twist on the show. We love what you did with Hillary and Viv, Uncle Phil, but many of our listeners, ourselves included, want to know if we have much more we can expect from the only LGBTQ representative on the show, Ashley Banks.
Oh yeah. I mean, we're not done with that story. and what I think I like about it is, it's about her identity and her place in the world. I mean, the character is very young, so it's not so much emphasis on her sexual nature as it is her sexual identity. And there's a lot to still say there. And I think as we've been laying out season two, that's a very important storyline for us and for the show. It's something that distinguishes our show from what I think they could have told 30 years ago.
Yeah. And judging by the looks of the cast, we can tell it was probably so much fun being on set and making this show happen. Puya, I know you had questions about some of the moments of season one.
I did. Well, I just, you know, I'm curious because the interviews I checked out were from around when the show had just started. And then Rashid, you did an interview where you were in the middle of shooting the finale. So what I want to know is, are there any funny moments you can share with maybe one or two that happened during your recording throughout season one?
I mean, I'm trying to think of funny. I mean, like, they're funny all the time. They're all right. They're funny if they make a mistake. They love to give each other the business when someone flubs the line. It was great when Marlon was there because, you know, as you can imagine, those scenes were so intense that even after they yelled cut, everybody would be silent for a second. And then he would just say something hilarious. And I felt that was good. It sort of cut the tension. Because, I mean, we did Marlon scenes over 2 days. So, you know, 12 to 14 hours of just that emotional heaviness, I think would have been really hard. But he lightened the mood. Jabari lightened the mood. I mean, Jabari and Ali are goofballs. So that also, I mean, they're just fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you about the time I came into the Uncle Phil's office set and Jabari was in there juggling for the crew. Like he's the dude can juggle. He's a multi-talented dude. And so go in there and he's juggling and he's all sorts of stuff, props and everything. And you're like, all right, this is interesting. And then he's trying to teach Ollie to juggle. Like that is the vibe on set. You know what I mean? That we have a piano in the foyer area. They're always around that in between takes playing songs and singing, you know? So it's not so much funny as it is fun. There's a real sense of family between this cast and the crew, and just, you know, it's kind of the things that people like Rashid and I have dreamed of and glad we could be a part of.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring up the piano, because I've heard now that this was not planned, but it was in the show that we found out that Jabari could play the piano. But that's like a really cool Easter egg from the original series. You know, Will was sitting around playing the piano on episode one, and I was just like, how did they do that? But y'all didn't plan this, Rashid? This just came up because they were hanging out?
That's about Easter eggs. I mean, people find the ones you planted, and then they find ones you didn't even plant. You're like, oh, you bring it back, and you go, that's great. It is exciting. I mean, I think that's sort of, it's part of the luck of the show that a lot of things aligned even when we weren't planning them. I mean, not that planning isn't important, but I think this is a show where we allowed a lot of things to be discovered and to sort of come into the show organically. And I think that makes it feel less forced. I think it makes it feel real.
Yeah, and when we've just about ran out of time, but we've completed season one. And Pooya, am I correct? You told me that this show won't be available. Season two won't be available until 2023.
I saw the announcement. I was sad. I was like, I can't wait. But I have seen on social media that, you know, the writers have met up. The season two writers are, you know, met up in person. So what's the energy right now? How are you both feeling going into this new season with the public very much praising the show, with it being the number one show on Peacock right now? What's the energy like?
Well, you've got to be happy. I mean, with that kind of success at your side, I mean, we're thrilled. And last season, you know, we had a lot of work to do just sort of establishing some of these relationships and getting them down. And it didn't leave us time to sort of examine other sort of pairings and relationships that we now feel in season two we can dig into. So for one, I know people talked about it. They were like, oh, I miss sort of like Ashley and Will, because that relationship was so sweet in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Well, Will was pretty busy this season with Carlton and everything else he had to do. But next season, we can put an emphasis on that, and we can deliver on that sort of promise. So it's that we get to sort of go to these new places with the characters we've established.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited. I am so angry at you two for making us wait till 2023. I better get my sunflower dance or I'm going to riot. But that about wraps everything up. I do have to ask, though. Normally around this time, we give our social media plugs, tell everybody what we're up to. But this is about y'all. So, Rashid, I do want to ask. I hear you have a book coming out. Tell us a little bit about that.
I do have a book coming out. It's called My Government Means to Kill Me. It's a novel. Comes out August 23rd. It's available for pre-order now, wherever you get your books. And it is, and this is weird because it sounds like, I'm going to tell you it's funny and it's sexy, but it's also about a gay Black man who goes to New York during the height of the AIDS crisis in the 80s and becomes a member of ACT UP. So that is coming out, and you can find me on Twitter at Rashid Newsom, and you can find me on Instagram at rashid.newsom.author.
And TJ, you have anything fun and sexy that you want to share, and where can people find you?
I mean, I'm always working on something, but nothing coming out other than Bel-Air. You can find me on Instagram. It's just at TJ Brady, or on Twitter. It's at TJ Brady TV. I don't post that much, but when I do, it's just going to be all positivity and love. That's all I'm going to, you know. Nothing but positivity and love. I'm not getting canceled over social media.
Love it.
Love it. So, yeah, that wraps up our interview. Pooya, I know you have a lot going on. I have a lot going on. Tell everybody where they can find you this week.
All right, they can find me on Twitter at Pooyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Pooya. The 90 Day Fiancé podcast, going strong. I've got a new episode out this week. With Scally, so check that out. And then the Masked Singer podcast, we're back. We're on the road to the finale. One more episode before we're done. I'll be talking about that, of course, with my partner, Liana. And that's about all you can get from me this week.
All right. And then, as usual, you can find me here on Post Show Recaps talking about The Walking Dead. Fear of the Walking Dead is never going to end, so I will be here forever. But then also, we are still talking about Atlanta. Myself, LaTanya Starks, and Mari Forth are wrapping up this season of Atlanta. It's been a good time. It's been an interesting season. And so we got a lot to talk about. Check that out. And check me out on Rob Has a Podcast, where myself and the owner of the company, Rob Cestarino, co-hosts our podcast, Nothing But Netflix, where every week we cover a different Netflix property. And so this week, I think we're talking about some Mike Myers movie, The Pentaverate or something. It'll be a good time. I'm sure we'll have a lot to say about that as well. And so you can follow me as usual at Chappelle's_show on Twitter. Follow Puya, follow Post Show Recaps, follow our two guests, and keep up with us in everything we're doing. And until next time, we will talk to you all later. Peace.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.